grace and mercy and peace. Peace be yours from God our Father and from our coming King and our Savior, Christ Jesus the Lord. Amen. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. It's a sweet image of a very joy-filled sound. You can imagine, and maybe remember for some of you, but imagine a little town, a small city, just a village really, built 150 years ago. Imagine a town built here in America 150 years ago, and in the center of that city, they built the whole city around the church. Geographically, spatially, relationally, their city was built around the church. And in the center of their community, in the center of life and the world as they experienced it, was the church. And that building there in the center of the city, it had has a steeple that reaches up towards the heavens. And in that steeple, there are the church bells. And the church bells ring out. And they ring out on wedding days. They ring out on Sundays. They ring out on festival days. And as those church bells ring out, it's a call to worship. There, from the center of the community and the center of their world, that church steeple high up in the sky, when the bells ring, it's a summons. An invitation to come and worship. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. I thought how as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. The unbroken song. The ringing and the singing, it continues, it rolls on unbroken as the saints of God gather, as the forgiven people of God come and they sing praises and they offer glory and thanksgiving to Jesus. It's because of Jesus that the belfries, what a great word, the bell ringers. It's because of Jesus that the belfries, the bell ringers, keep on ringing. It's because of Jesus that the people keep on singing. And as that church bell rings out from that steeple there in the center of the community, from the midst of their world, it's a call and a summons to come and to worship. Peace on earth. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. If you haven't heard those words yet before this morning, chances are you're going to hear them again in the coming days. You will be inundated, most likely, and barraged by the words, peace on earth, goodwill to men. You'll hear them in songs and commercials on the radio. You'll read those words in Christmas cards and Christmas letters. You'll see them as transition graphics on the evening news. You'll find them stenciled onto the windows of storefronts. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Those words are going to come at you over and over again in the next few weeks. And if you're paying attention, chances are, whether it's today or 2 weeks from now or 3 weeks from now when you've heard those words for the 7,000th time, chances are, if you're paying attention, at some point during this season, when you read or hear those words, peace on earth, goodwill to men, chances are, if you're paying attention, you'll experience a disconnect. And you'll feel in yourself this really deep dissonance between the joy-filled Christmas bells and the dark despair of the real world. And this song, this Christmas song, it goes along nicely, then it takes this turn, and it offers to us what I would say is a hauntingly sad verse. And in despair, I hung my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. As dark, as sudden, chances are you will feel this disconnect, the dissonance. We're going along and you got tinsel and lights and joy and beauty of Christmas season, and you have that moment of the church bells ringing true, and in yourself or in the world around you, you might feel or experience or see in someone else the physical slumping over that comes from the weight of the brokenness of this world. And in despair, I hung my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. This verse is as stark as it is honest. And there's no peace on earth. Who are we kidding? We say it over and over again as if like saying it's going to make it happen. But why keep pretending? Why give our kids some false expectation that isn't going to happen? When has there ever been peace on earth? When will there ever be peace on earth? People die every day. People are killed in combat every day. People are murdered every day. People are robbed every day. Some people go to work and some kids go to school in fear for their lives every single day. I got to volunteer at Mirror Lake one day this last week, elementary school right around the corner. I typically go on Thursdays, but they were closed on Thursday. So I went on Wednesday to go volunteer, and Mirror Lake Elementary School is having their turkey trot. So turkey trot, they usually run around outside, but they're getting a new building, so the track's all undone. So we started in the gym, and we ran around the portables and did these just crazy, chaotic figure eights, and we counted loops, and we ran around for a half hour. And I got 11 laps, if you're wondering. I didn't win. I was prepared to win, but I had to keep helping the kids up who were crashing in the gravel. So take what you can get. I got second place in my third grade class. Not everything has to be a competition, but... So we run around, we count our loops, and we go back to the classroom, and the third grade class that I volunteer in, they have Would You Rather Wednesdays. So every Wednesday, the teacher asks a would you rather question, and then why? Would you rather this or that, and then why? And the kids go around, everyone gets an answer, and they practice public speaking and kind of, you know, rational thinking and justifying their thoughts. And so we come out of this turkey trot, we're running around like crazy, and the teacher says, okay, in light of the turkey trot, would you rather have to run everywhere for the rest of your life or never be able to run again? And why? And I'm sitting on the carpet with my third grade class when we go around. And more than one third grader more than one third grader said, I would rather have to run everywhere for the rest of my life because if there's a lockdown, I have to get there safely. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Now, this verse is a bit of a downer, I'm not going to lie. And it maybe seems surprising to find such a dark little rhyme in the midst of a Christmas song. But I think we can make sense of this stanza and these words, I think can resonate a little more, maybe seem less out of place when we pause and remember, this will sound obvious, but these words were written in this world. The guy who wrote this song in the same world that you and I live in the real world. His name was Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow wrote this song, he wrote this poem, wrote these words on Christmas Day, 1863. 3 years before he wrote these words, his wife died in a fire. I've never lost a spouse, let alone to somebody in a fire. The same month that he wrote these words, his eldest son had been wounded and nearly paralyzed by a gunshot wound. And as he pens these words on Christmas Day in 1863, the world that he lives in, the community that he loves, the country that he loves, is being torn apart by a murderous and hate-filled civil war that had already been going on for 2 full years with no end in sight. And so in this dark world that he's living in, he put these words on paper, and there's actually two stanzas that you're not going to hear on the radio, that you're not going to sing at most churches, because they're very specific to the context in which Longfellow wrote his words. Then from each black accursed mouth the cannon thundered in the south, and with the sound the carols drowned of peace on earth, goodwill to men. The cannon, these black instruments of death were lined up in the battlefields, and from the mouths, from the opening of those cursed cannons, murder and hate and anger and destruction come firing out and taking out homes and sons and husbands and families. And then the cannons are so loud, you can't hear the church bells anymore. These accursed mouths, these black cannons of death. It was as if an earthquake rent the hearthstones of a continent and made forlorn the households born of peace on earth, goodwill to men. As if an earthquake rent and broke the hearthstones, the foundations, the family fireplaces where people gathered. As if an earthquake just broke whatever goodwill was there. Whatever peace may have been, whatever goodwill at once maybe kind of existed, it's gone. For hate is strong and it mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. In the year 700 BC, long before Henry Wadsworth Longfellow wrote his words, around the year 700 BC, the Hebrew prophet Isaiah wrote these words. It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be lifted up above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it. And many people shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and shall decide disputes for many peoples. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. It shall come to pass. There shall be a day, someday. It shall come to pass in the latter days, at the end of all days, there shall come a day of great reversal, a day full of reversals. And on that day, the mountain of the Lord will be lifted up. It will be the highest mountain. It will be like that church steeple in the center of the world. In this day of great reversals, on that day, no longer will the people of God be hiding. No longer will the people of God be separated or isolated or see themselves needing to be set apart and distinct from the world. For on that day, all nations will come. They will gather. The word that Isaiah uses, he says, they will flow. They're going to flow up the mountain of the Lord. Now, typically, if you know anything about gravity, things typically flow down. And yet this is a day of reversals. Rather than flowing down, everything's going to flow up. All the nations are going to come, and they're going to flow to the house of the Lord like that bell ringing from the steeple. It will be a call and a summons to come and worship. And as the people come flowing from the corners of the earth, as they gather, the very sounds that they hear will be reversed from what they're used to. On that day, there will not be the sound of cannon fire. There will not be the sound of hammers coming down on firing pins. No, on that day, they're going to hear plenty of hammering. They're going to hear hammer blow after hammer blow after hammer blow as the old weapons of war, these obsolete weapons, are going to be hammered and beat and reshaped into farming tools. Not going to need swords anymore. What we're going to need is something to get those apples out of the tree. We're not going to need cannons anymore. We're going to need something to help plow this field. Rather than weapons of war, they will become instruments of mutual provision. And no longer will they learn war, but they will learn the ways of the war. They will unlearn what it means to take life, and instead, they will be recipients of God's gift of life. And if that's true, if the prophet can be taken at his word, if God can be trusted, then despite the cannons we hear today, despite the bloodshed, despite the very deep and real despair, if God can be trusted, then let the bells ring. Then let God's people sing. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail. With peace on earth, goodwill to men. Isaiah, after he gave this vision, he kept saying more. But here's the thing about God's word. When God speaks his word, when God offers his truth, when God makes a promise, he can say it one time. When God makes a promise, he can say it one time, and it's as good as done. What he has said, and he meant what he said, and he said what he meant, and God is faithful 100%. And when God says it, it's as good as done. And when God says something one time, you can bet your life on it. But the words that God says in Isaiah chapter 2 are so important that he saw fit to repeat them. In Micah chapter 4, God gives the same vision of this lifted up mountain almost verbatim. Micah chapter 4, it says this, verse 1. It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains. It shall be lifted up above the hills, and people shall flow to it. And many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between many peoples and shall decide for strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. And when Isaiah gives his prophecy of the vision, he goes on to tell us, Isaiah does in his book, he goes on to tell us about the virgin who will conceive, and Emmanuel and the suffering servant, to talk more about this day of reversals. In the same way, the prophet Micah, after he gives this very same vision, he goes on to give us more details about this great day of reversals. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you, Bethlehem, shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient of days. You jump down to verse 4, it says, and he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will dwell secure. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. He shall be their peace. He himself shall be their peace. He shall be our peace. This one who was born in Bethlehem, this one whose origin is of ancient of days, the one who was born of a virgin, the one who would be Emmanuel, God with us, the one who would be the suffering servant, who would bow his head on the cross in despair under the brokenness of it all. In him the wrong shall fail and the right prevail. Jesus is peace on earth. Only in Jesus is there peace on earth. He himself is peace come down to earth. Jesus is God's good will toward all of mankind. And so in Jesus, despite the noise of hate and anger and strife, God's word of promise rings true. From the midst of his people, from the midst of the very mess in which we live, high above it all, Jesus reigns. And his word of hope goes out. Yet pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail. With peace on earth, good will to men. In Jesus, it is so. Thanks be to God. Amen.